League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Time show on Toledo Sports Leader 106.5 The Ticket.
Miguel swings it to fly ball right field, way back and right. Garcia to the fence, looking up, and it's gone, a home run.
Wow.
Miguel Cabrera with a two-run shot to right is 24th, his fifth home run in the last week. The Tigers lead it.
This 106.5 The Ticket sports exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Matthews got it, throws. He's got Golden Tate who makes the catch. Inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's biking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags, start the plane. This game is over. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Get ready. It's now drive time.
Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocked the shot. Sent Gretzky in. 3-0.
Mike Miller's out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, center of cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, from the Superstore, glad to have you on board. Another edition of Drive Time here on Thursday and Friday as well over at Savina Tamashanner tomorrow night talking a little hockey. Of course, Nashville and Pittsburgh went at it last night. That series now tied 2 games each. Speaking of hockey, boy, hats off to Toledo native Lucas Hafner. 25 saves last night. He saw 26 shots. Colorado beat South Carolina last night to win the Kelly Cup in the ECHL. Not very often over the years do we talk about an ECHL championship team, and do we talk about other ECHL teams. Of course, we had the coaching staff on most of the year, most of the walleye players as well. But Lucas Hafner was such a tremendous story, friend of the Superstore here, by the way. And again, Central Catholic, junior hockey, lost his dad, his mentor at a young age, went on to play again junior hockey in Ontario, college hockey, Western Michigan, off to Alaska in the ECHL this year, did not make the team, eventually ends up with the Colorado Eagles. They sweep South Carolina, the Stingrays, last night, again beat them 2-1. They win the series 4-0. Hats off again to Lucas Hafner, 25 a save performance last night in the championship game. Colorado won 7 straight games towards the end, including 3 over the Walleye, of course, who won the regular season. Tigers back in action tonight after a night off. The Angels come to town without Mike Trout. He is out with a broken thumb. We're going to talk about that a little bit at 5:15 with Mark Wicker. Mark, of course, writes for the Orange County Register in California. He's a columnist, writes about a little bit of everything, but the Angels as well. So he'll talk about the Angels that make their way again into Comerica Park tonight. Nick Petrovich will join us. His story today, of course, you probably saw that Thad Matta is out as the head coach of Ohio State, and he covered that, covers all Ohio State sports. So Nick Petrovich coming up at 5:35 tonight. Other notes, Taylor Decker undergoing shoulder surgery for the Detroit Lions. Cavs, by the way, back at home against Golden State on Wednesday night. Thing I can't believe, again, I touched on this yesterday, Golden State, I mean, Las Vegas must think a lot of these guys, everybody does, but again, without being redundant, I never thought I would see a team that LeBron James played on playoffs at home an underdog. They are a 3-point underdog going into that game tomorrow night. Nashville last night, I mean, what an electric, electric atmosphere it is at the Bridgestone Arena in downtown Nashville. Inside and outside of the building, Nashville gets it done. They have tied that series up 2 games each. Game 5 of that series is back in Pittsburgh on Thursday night. Here is the go-ahead goal. Nashville Predators last night. Again, they win it 4-1.
Ellis up with it there. Ellis shovels one that went wide.
The puck have crossed the line past Matt Murray. That puck's across the line. That's going to be a good goal.
After video review, it was determined the puck crossed the goal line.
Well, you know what? You don't want to localize or talk about yourself too much, but it warms my heart to see Ryan Ellis involved in that goal last night for the Nashville Predators. Of course, I do the play-by-play for the Windsor Spitfires. Former Windsor Spitfire Ryan Ellis, defenseman number 4 for Nashville. So that's just about it. Again, baseball, Tigers, Angels at 5:15. Tigers are 28-28. You know, I had MLB on today, and they were talking about Mike Trout, and they were going through his draft year, 24. Now, listen, I know this isn't easy, but they said geographically, and it makes a lot of sense, Mike Trout was a kid that wasn't from California. Mike Trout was a kid that wasn't from Texas. Mike Trout wasn't from Florida. He was from New Jersey, about a half hour out of Philadelphia. And they showed him playing as a senior in high school, Millville High School. Scouts there, of course, on a nightly basis every time he played. But 24 teams passing on Mike Trout. Of course, again, the Angels take him. Rest is history. Out of the Angels lineup tonight. He was hitting, by the way, .337 with 16 home runs. Listen, I'm not going to put him in the same class as a Mickey Mantle yet. Very, very rare aerified atmosphere there. But I got to tell you, with the blonde hair and that build in high school and now moving into the major leagues as a tremendous player, he does remind you with that power and that speed a lot of Mickey Mantle. But 24 professional scouting directors passing on Mike Trout. And to watch that draft on television today, it was riveting because they showed the tables of each prospective major league team talking and, you know, showed a little bit of a bio of the players that were left and just kind of off there to the side. Mike Trout, who legitimately could have been the first overall pick. Again, they talk about geographically, not a warm weather guy that plays 12 months a year. Again, picked 20. Tigers, Angels tonight, Comerica Park. Mark Wicker will join us after this.
Talking local sports, it's Drive Time on Toledo's Sports Leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. And before we talk to our guest, Mark Wicker, we found out not too long ago that, of course, we do this show every night from the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore, and its founder, Ralph Mahalik Jr., passed away today in South Carolina. Again, started this store in Michigan a long, long time ago. And talk about loyalty. A lot of the folks that work for seniors still around. So, again, heavy thoughts today here at the Monroe Superstore. The low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr., of course, is not here tonight. But our condolences to all the customers, of course, the family, and everybody else. Ralph Mahalik Sr. passing away today in South Carolina. Nick Pedrovich will join us at 5:35 tonight. Of course, the news there, Thad Mata of the Ohio State Buckeyes, basketball coach. He is out, so we'll get an update on that again at 5:35 tonight, right behind the TAS Electronics update. Joining us now is Mark Wicker, Orange County Register. I think we had Mark on one time a few years back, but, of course, the Angels are at Comerica Park in Detroit tonight to start that series. The Angels without Mike Trout. Mark Wicker joins us to kind of preview that series. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Hey, listen, thank you very much for taking the time. Did you travel, or are you out in out on the Pacific?
I'm still out here. I was with the Angels over the weekend, but I'm out here now.
Well, I guess the big news, Albert Pujols, number 600 for him. And, again, a tremendous career that started with the St. Louis Cardinals and, of course, the much-talked-about deal that sent him to the Angels. The 600's been written about, Mr. Wicker. Any other observations there you could share with us?
Well, he puts him in a real elite group because he's hitting over 300 for his career. And if he ends his career like that, he'll be one of four guys to hit over 300 and have 600 home runs, and the other three are Babe Ruth, Willie Mays, and Hank Aaron. So that gives you an idea what kind of elite company he's in. And I think it was nice to see him get a little recognition and have people kind of say, hey, maybe we've been overlooking what this guy's done the last few years because, you know, the Angels haven't been winning, and a lot of new stars have come along to kind of get the attention. And I think it's going to be a long time before we see somebody like Albert Pujols again. I mean, he's 600 home runs. You know, that's 150 some more than the second place guy, who's Miguel Cabrera. So there's only eight active players who have 300 home runs. So it was really a big accomplishment when you think about it. And he got it on a grand slam off Ervin Santana, who's been one of the best pitchers in the league this year.
No, no doubt about it. You talk about Miguel Cabrera with 451, and his batting average, of course, will be 300, I'm going to say, when his career is over as well. But
right,
he's still three seasons away of 50, and he's not in that range of 50 anymore. It's going to be some time before Miggy catches him. Mike Trout, with that thumb injury, was hitting 337, 16 home runs for the Angels. Hey, by the way, I had MLB on today a little bit, Mark, and they had the draft here that Mike Trout was selected. It still astonishes me that 24 teams passed on Mike Trout before he was selected, and the reasoning behind that mostly was given he's not a Florida guy, he's not a Texas guy, he's not a California guy, but boy, what a pick by the Angels.
Yeah, I think a lot of people went up there to New Jersey and watched him play high school ball, and it might have been a day when it was 35 degrees and the wind was blowing and people were pitching around him because he was by far the best player on his team, and it was hard for people to get an idea. But he had also played on Team USA's, and he'd had some exposure on national teams and in bigger competition. So I do think there was a little regional bias there. I also think when you look at that draft, many of those teams were looking for pitching, and they kind of lumped Mike into the group of outfielders, high school outfielders that were in there. And you got to give credit to a scout named Greg Morehart. He was the area scout, and he just pounded the table until the Angels decided to take him. He kept saying, this is a Hall of Fame player. And the scouting director, Eddie Bain, went up there and saw him and was sold as well. And he was picked 25th. I think the Yankees would have taken him later had he fallen that far. But, yeah, it's something you can look back on and say, wow, this guy was not the number one pick. And I think you have to keep that in mind when you watch the draft on Monday, and don't get too carried away with these guys who do get picked high.
Again, Mark Wicker joins us, Orange County Register, right here on Drive Time. Of course, he appears in the Vito's Pizza phone line. Tell me a little bit about Jesse Chavez. He'll get to start tonight, Mark, against the Tigers. By the way, his last 12 innings against the Tigers, he has not allowed an earned run. He's 4-5, 4.5 ERA coming into this one tonight.
He can be good. He pitched very well his last time. He's not the most consistent pitcher in the world, but he gives you an honest effort. He's got pretty good stuff. He can, a lot of it's just like every other pitcher. If he has command, if he's keeping the ball down, he can be pretty dangerous. And, their starting rotation has been a problem because of injuries. You know, Garrett Richards is out for the year. They were really hoping he would come back and be their ace. And Andrew Heaney hasn't pitched this year, probably won't pitch all year. They were hoping to be around 500 and maybe make a run, an outside run at a wild card. But then the injuries hit. You know, Trout's not going to be back till the All-Star break probably. And they're still around 500, so I think they're playing about as well as they can. But they just don't have the talent, I think, when you look at the other top teams in the league.
Yeah, especially Houston. I'm not real surprised at Houston. I'm a little surprised they've been as good as they have been. Of course, they have a 14-game lead on the Angels and Seattle. You mentioned the Angels, Mark. They're 29-31, and you mentioned some reasons why. So anything else there that stands out as they make their way into Detroit tonight you can touch on?
Well, it's the struggle without Trout. You know, he's the guy that that everything goes around, and you know, people pitch other players differently when he's not in the lineup. So he gives them a lot of energy. I think Cole Calhoun, who has been slumping, seems to be coming out of it. He hit some home runs in the homestand. Andrelton Simmons is having a good year offensively, and of course he's one of the better defensive shortstops in baseball. So, and Martin Maldonado has been a very good defensive catcher for them. They also haven't had their closer, Houston Street, and they haven't had the guy who would have been their closer if Street hadn't been hurt, and that's Andrew Bailey. So they've been mixing and matching. You know, they've got Bud Norris closing. I don't think anybody ever thought Bud Norris would be a closer, but he's been pretty effective. And so they're just kind of treading water until guys get healthy, and until Mike gets back in the lineup, maybe they can make a little bit of a run. But obviously they're not going to catch Houston. But, you know, when you got two wild cards, you bring a lot of teams into the mix when September comes around.
Hey, you know, I don't want to have you pull out your ID card here as, again, Mark Wicker joins us, Orange County Register here on Drive Time ESPN, 106.5 The Ticket. But I was reading today a couple of stories, and I know he played for the Angels. I'm old enough to remember this, but to the passing of Jimmy Pearsall, of course, who played in Boston and played with six other teams, including the Angels. Listen, like I said, you don't have to pull out your Social Security card here if you haven't qualified yet, but do you remember Jimmy when he played for the Angels?
No, I wasn't doing this when he played, although I am pretty close to that Social Security that you talk about, but I do remember him when I was a kid. I remember reading about him and watching him on TV, and he was a phenomenal talent, tremendous defensive center fielder. And but he was best known for his antics and his personality. And, you know, when you look back on him, he was kind of a pioneer. He was very frank about the fact that he had some mental health issues, and then they made a movie, Fear Strikes Out, about him. Back in those days, that was pretty avant-garde stuff for a player to be that open about it. In fact, very few players, I think, would even do that today. But he, instead of making it a stigma, he was very open about it and explained a lot of things about him. And I think most of the players who played with him really appreciated him because he was a totally unfiltered guy. He said what he thought, and he was a real competitor. And he's going to be missed by a lot of people in Boston and Cleveland and also out here in Anaheim because he was one of a kind for sure.
Hey, Mark, tell us, and I know he's injured as well before we let you go. Cameron Maben out of the lineup. He's on the IR for the Angels. And listen, I got to tell you, Detroit to me is the worst base running team in baseball, maybe in the last decade. But one guy that could, you know, move around the bases a little bit and ahead of Cabrera and Victor Martinez and JD and guys like that was Cameron Maben. What's his injury update and how was he playing before he went down?
Yeah, he got off to a bad start and then he started getting hot and then he got hurt. I think he's going to be back pretty soon. He's going to, I think he may be doing some rehab games. I'm not sure, but he was a welcome guy because the thing the Angels are trying to do until they get some prospects through their system is to be a really good defensive team and to be good up the middle. And that's why they got Danny Espinosa and they have Simmons and Maldonado behind the plate. And then with Maben, they felt like they had basically three center fielders in Maben, Trout, and Calhoun. They really felt like they were going to have a good defensive outfield. And I think they will. And once he gets back, I think he'll be just fine. He's always been a little bit up and down with the bat, as you've seen, but he's a great guy in the clubhouse. He's a great guy to have on your team. And I think the jury is still out on how much he's going to be able to help him.
Hey, Mark, I read your story today on Long Beach State and Cal State Fullerton. You know, a lot of times when I'm watching college baseball, I'm thinking, geez, am I the only guy watching this? And listen, I know there's some naysayers because of the aluminum bat, but I enjoyed it. And listen, people here in Michigan won't know a lot about those teams. But you wrote about the rivalry between those two teams, and it was great to read, not because I know anything about either of those teams, but it's great to read about a college baseball rivalry like that, you know, as opposed to when it gets September and we're reading about football rivalries or NASCAR rivalries or rivalries in golf, basketball, everything else. Sounds like you're going to have some fun covering that.
Well, it's the marquee sport for both campuses. I mean, Fullerton has won four College World Series, you know, and it's a big commuter school in North Orange County, but they don't have much money and they don't have much going on in other sports. And it's probably most famous for being Kevin Costner's alma mater. Long Beach State has been to four World Series. They've never won one, but they've had Troy Tulowitzki and Evan Longoria, Jared Weaver, Brian Shaw for the Indians. They've had quite a few good individual talent. They've had good teams, and they're both state university schools. A lot of these kids played against each other coming all the way up through Little League and Pony League and high school. And it is a big rivalry. Their fans don't like each other. Their players, their teams don't like each other when they get out there. And it's, they've played six times this year. Long Beach has won five of them, and they could play a possible nine times this year if this thing goes to three games. So it's going to be the place to be this weekend in Southern California because a lot of people, even though they might not be full-time, you know, students who stay in dorms on those campuses, there's a lot of alumni from both schools because they're so big. And I think a lot of people are going to be paying attention to this. And it's good baseball. It's a little ball. You know, they bunt a lot. They steal a lot. They don't hit a lot of home runs because the parks they play in are so big. And it's kind of the way baseball used to be. Good execution, good pitching. And it's fun to watch.
Now, good stuff. Hey, you also had the pleasure of covering one of my favorite people, and that's Scott Niedermeyer. I was able to do the play-by-play in two cups. He won in New Jersey. I read your story on him as well. Nick Lidstrom here, of course, in Detroit, and Niedermeyer in this era, two of the best that have ever played. One of the best people, too, Scott Niedermeyer. So I enjoyed your story on the Ducks as well, and thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. Mark, I will be reading, and somewhere down the road I might call you on you again if we could.
Sure, no problem, anytime.
That's Mark Wicker, Orange County Register, talking a little Angels baseball, Tigers baseball. Tonight, the Angels at Comerica Park in Detroit. I'd like to remind everybody the Carfax Fox used car sales event continues. A lot of great deals up here in the new vehicles as well. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. All of our guests appear on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. Order by phone at any of the 20 Northwest Ohio, Southeast Michigan locations by phone or visit Vito's.com. TAS Electronics update right around the corner. A little sports, a little weather. Traffic is always brought to you by SuperFitnessToledo.com. Little Ohio State basketball after this. This is Drive Time driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik.
The cure for annoying traffic jams. It's the Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. I see Ian Kinsler's in the lineup tonight for the Detroit Tigers. He is off the DL. We understand Jacoby Jones has been sent back to the Toledo Mudhens. Glad to have you on board. Mark Wicker joined us from the Orange County Register. Talked a little Angels baseball. Of course, Mike Trout out of the lineup. Pujols with home run number 600 over the weekend. Again, the Angels at Comerica Park in Detroit tonight. Other big news this week, Thad Matta out as the head coach of Ohio State University, their all-time winningest coach, 13 years, read the story above the fold in the sports section today. Nick Petrovich joins us. Hello, Nick. How are you?
Hey, Mike. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. I guess first things first, if Gene Smith would have said in this meeting, and as you wrote, you know, was given Thad Matta was given a vote of confidence not too long ago, do you think if Thad Matta said, hey, listen, give me one more kick at the can here. I'd like to give it a try this year. Do you think Gene Smith would have relented?
Maybe. I think they both had just reached the conclusion that this had probably become inescapable in a way. I think they knew that it was going to get worse before it was going to get better. And under those circumstances, they probably decided for both of them, particularly for Smith, it was probably smarter to move on now. I guess the timing of it threw off everyone more than anything. This is not the typical hiring-firing season for college basketball. And the way everything has just gone for Ohio State's basketball program, particularly since March, almost all the news has been negative. So I think they kind of saw the writing on the wall and moved on from there.
You know, I guess the other side of this, too, and listen, being on the business side of this myself for a number of years, you look around that building there when Ohio State was playing, and you remember the glory years there under Thad Mata. You couldn't get a ticket down there. Some of the games you were down there and covered, and some of the games I witnessed on television this past fall and this past winter. Listen, I don't want to say it's a business decision, but one of the first things that you notice when a program's going the wrong way is lack of rear ends in the seats.
Oh, it's been that atmosphere at the Schottenstein Center last year especially was just absolutely dead. I was there for their Big Ten opener against Purdue, and they might as well have been playing, you know, some community college from the middle of nowhere. And you couldn't tell that they were opening the Big Ten season against a ranked team. It just had no atmosphere to it. And that was pretty much the theme of the past couple of years as they slipped off from their Elite Eight run in 2013. Year after year after year, they won fewer games and fewer people showed up, and that matters.
Nick Pedrovas joins us here. He's on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. Order by phone at any of the 20 Northwest Ohio, Southeast Michigan locations, or, as always, visit Vito's.com. Well, Dave Briggs had a few names in his article today, Nick, and you had one or two yourself. I mean, what do you think? Who's the next guy? And, boy, you just hit the nail on the head. This isn't the time of the year to be looking for a basketball coach with a lot of the guys who were going to move already moved. So tell me a little bit about that. You know, I'll put it this way. Listen, you want a name. I get that. But what type of coach? Are you going to bring a guy in there that changes pace, changes tempo, a guy that's a good recruiter? I mean, what are you thinking? I'll put it this way. What do you think you're going to be writing about? What type of coach are they looking for?
Well, the way the Ohio State job is viewed nationally and the way the program thinks of itself, they are expecting a coach who can both get kids in Ohio, the good kids in Ohio, and then can win some national battles. And that has been, that more than anything, probably brought Mata down. The recruiting in the past few years has really, really, really fallen off. Not that you're going to get Greg Oden and Mike Conley and Daquan Cook every year, but they were struggling to even get the top kids out of Ohio anymore. And I think the next coach is going to be someone that has to be a name, whether from the mid-major ranks or a top assistant.
You mentioned Billy Donovan. You know, that's interesting because of his relationship with Urban Myers. Nick Pedrovas joins us here in Drive Time, ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. Would you anticipate Gene Smith, if he's working on Donovan, says, hey, Urban, pick up the phone and give this guy a call? I mean, that's a perfectly believable scenario, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think Ohio State will at least test the waters, whether Donovan is actually going to leave an NBA job to come back to college. I'm not sure. There are some interesting candidates for this job. I don't think anyone has really mentioned Chris Gent, who's an assistant there right now, who has NBA experience. He might not be the sexy hire, but certainly knows the game in the state of Ohio. And then even without even leaving the state, you have both Chris Mack and Mick Cronin from Cincinnati and Xavier that people have thrown around that have won a lot of games. I'm really interested to see who is interested back, because when you talk to a lot of coaches, particularly in this region, that is a really, really coveted job. Obviously, you're never going to be bigger than the football program is there, and it's a football school, but that program still has a ton of resources, and you can win there. Before Mata took this job, one of the people that helped him convince him to take it was Mike Krzyzewski. He talked to Mike Krzyzewski, and Krzyzewski told him, you can win there, and certainly he did. So all the other coaches know that. This program has a lot of resources, and I'm interested to see who's after that job.
Nick, tell me about the timeline here. Educate me right now and educate my listeners a little bit. Where is Ohio State basketball and college basketball right now in the recruiting segment of their season?
Well, in the recruiting segment, in July is a huge month. There's going to be a lot of coaches at a lot of AAU games that looking at junior college players. This is a big time for movement on the next year. And Ohio State is at a point where its roster is pretty bare bones. They have 9 scholarship kids right now. They'll probably end up with 10 and offer a walk-on this year simply because they don't have anyone filling scholarship. Right now they only have 10 players at all on the roster. And then beyond next year, they have two kids coming in, and that's it. So they're really bare bones here. They really, really desperately need to hit on these next couple recruiting classes. And if they don't, they're going to be at the bottom of the Big Ten. They're probably going to be down there already this year. But if you don't land these next couple recruiting classes, it's going to be a rough couple years.
Nick Petrovich joins us here in the Vito's Pizza phone line. When would you, I mean, listen, this process could be, I would imagine, when you do your due diligence on coaches that might be interviewed here, if you had to venture a guess, and I know you're not in the guessing business, but you mentioned July, and that's the reason I asked the question, what is the prime month, AAU? In fact, I was down in Vegas last year on a little hockey project when that AAU tournament was going on out there. I could not believe the number of college coaches that were out there. Absolutely unbelievable. When would you think that Gene Smith's going to be calling a press conference to announce the new head coach? Before July?
I think they're going to make a move before July 1. They didn't give it a timeline, and he said that he wants to take his time and, you know, do this right. But I would be very surprised if they don't have the new guy in before July. Mata got hired at the beginning of July himself. I think they internally, although they have not said it, I think they're going to be shooting to have this done before the end of the month to both give a chance to for him to put a staff together and to get out there recruiting, because it's such an important month.
Good stuff, Nick. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it as always. We'll be reading.
Thanks, Mike.
Nick Petrovich, Toledo Blade, beat writer for the Ohio State Buckeyes basketball, and again, won 337 games, Thad Mata, Ohio State coach. Health, obviously, a situation here. This is a guy that had back surgery and is having problems walking. So, I mean, listen, anybody that's had a bad back, anybody, knock on wood, minor for me, but I know people that have had bad backs and surgeries. It is, well, look at Kerr with Golden State. Absolutely devastating at times, how you feel, and basically it saps your energy, and the same with Thad Mata. Basically, I don't want to say a surgery gone wrong. I'm not trying to play a Marcus Welby MD here, but certainly he's been hindered after this surgery for a number of years, and obviously that played into it as well. He's got 3 years left in his contract. We're not going to see him heading down to the unemployment line very soon, and financially did very, very well. But, again, that's a big story, and I think as Nick documented that, the real thing here is the timing of this whole thing. So, again, Thad Mata out as the coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes. We are an Ohio State Buckeye-affiliated station, so big news, not only in Columbus, but big news here as well. Back with more. This is Drive Time. My name is Mike Miller. Frank Gargano's back at the studios. We'll march on after this.
Traffic jams. It's the Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. You know, I mentioned this just a little while ago, and I'm going to pass this on. I just got a text from Ralph Mahalik, the Low Payment King, and again, to all the friends of this tremendous business that has been a part of Monroe, Michigan for a long, long time. But Ralph Mahalik Sr. passed away. This is from Ralph peacefully this afternoon, surrounded by his family. Ralph Sr. accomplished a lot as a graduate of St. Patrick's High School in Wyandotte, Michigan. He founded Monroe Dodge 51 years ago. And with Dodge, of course, 26 years ago, survived by many ups and downs in this tough, tough business at times. Led this business through 2009. Five children, 13 grandchildren. By the way, Ralph said his mom and dad traveled the world. They really enjoyed life. And Ralph wants to tell everybody that join us soon here in Monroe as we celebrate his life. The arrangements will be announced in the days ahead. But, again, as we sit here in the showroom at Monroe Dodge, a superstore, the gentleman that, again, founded this business, Ralph Mahalik Sr., passing away today. And anybody, listen, I grew up in a family that owned their own business, and there's never a day that you're not making tough decisions and how to stay open. Well, they stayed open for 51 years. It was great to see Ralph Sr. And his wife and the entire Mahalik family here last year which was the 50th anniversary of this business. Same year, by the way, big sports fans of the Homaholic family and some good athletes as well. The same year as the 50th anniversary of the Super Bowl. So, again, our thoughts are with the entire Maholic family here today at the Superstore. Again, our thoughts with the entire Maholic family. Reeb Funeral Home, Detroit Tiger report tonight, as always. Again, I'd like to remind everybody that Ian Kinsler is back in the lineup tonight. The Tigers will go with their left-handed lineup with Kinsler, Avila, Cabrera, Martinez, J.D. Martinez, Upton, Castellanos, Presley, and Iglesias. On the mound tonight is Daniel Norris. Again, I'd like to thank our guest here. We got some time, and I thought it was just great, that atmosphere last night in Nashville as the Predators tie up that series two games each. NBA back at it tomorrow night, as I mentioned. Hard to believe, but Golden State is a favorite in Cleveland by 3 points. Of course, Golden State leading that series 2-0. Cleveland's got the next two over the Quicken Loans Arena. Tigers tonight, they've won 4 straight. The Angels are in town. Hats off to Lucas Hapner, Toledoan, between the pipes as the Colorado Eagles last night sweeping the South Carolina Stingrays 4-0 to win the coveted Kelly Cup in the ECHL. Tomorrow night we will be over at Sylvania Tam-O-Shanter, and we'll start with drive time from 5 to 6 o'clock. 6 to 7 tomorrow night, face off the hockey show. We'll probably have Lucas Hapner on that show tomorrow night, and we'll have a cavalcade of hockey guests lined up as well. So, again, tomorrow night from Sylvania Tam-O-Shanter. Anything on tap tonight? I know Bill Clark's got his baseball show, Frank. Anything else going on you can pass on?
Nope, just have Bill Clark from 10 to 10:30 and then regular ESPN scheduled programming for the rest of the night.
And, of course, tomorrow night we'll have the basketball game, Thursday the Stanley Cup playoffs as well. Frank passed on the word that, indeed, it was Jacoby Jones making his way back in Toledo, to Toledo, rather, with the Mud Hens, who are home. And, by the way, Ian Kinsler back in the Tiger lineup tonight. He will lead off. You know, Jacoby Jones is one of those guys that you look at and you know that he's going to be a steady, very productive major league player. Problem is right now he can't hit what a lot of folks used to call Uncle Charlie. Really struggling with the breaking ball. He'll come down here to Toledo, get a ton of at-bats. The last thing you want to do with a guy, you know, with a high-end ability like Jacoby Jones is have him come up to Detroit here for the next week to 10 days and sit on the Pines 5 out of 7 games. Got to come down here and swing the bat, get some playing time, play every day. So certainly he is going to get that in Toledo as well. Like to remind everybody, the Carfax Fox Used Car Sales event continues here at the Superstore. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com for all the great deals. 2016 Dodge Charger. How about this? $275 per month. Leave your checkbook at home. Carfax Fox Used Car Sales event continues here at the Superstore. All of our guests, by the way, come to us live on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, the 2016 Pizza Palooza Award winner. Mark Wicker, Orange County Register. Nick Petrovich talking about Thad Mata out as the head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes. Great to have both those guys on again tomorrow, 5 to 6, drive time from Sylvania Tam-O-Shanter. Working to get Lucas Hapner on at 6:05 tomorrow night on Face Off, the hockey show, a doubleheader. By the way, Face Off in its last two scheduled events this year from the Loft Restaurant tomorrow night and a week from Wednesday will wrap up the entire season. So, again, thanks, everybody, as always, for tuning in. Visit the MonroeSuperstore.com for all of the great deals. And, again, that Carfax Fox Used Car Sales event continues. Mike Miller, Frank Gargano from the Superstore saying so long and good night, everybody.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.